The Black and Abdallah podcast is brought to you by DePaul University. With more than 195,000 alumni around the world, DePaul graduates are a force in the workforce. Learn more at herewedo.depaul.edu.
When you're at home, don't miss Black and Abdallah. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Best night of the week, Friday nights on the Black and Abdallah show from 6 to 7 p.m. What do we call it? Friday night calls. All calls welcome.
All calls welcome.
312-332-3776. We get all kinds of strange calls. It's fantastic. It's the part of the show that we look forward to the entire week. We just love it. And it's all because of you calling at 312-332-3776. A lot to get into tonight. Quick show. We have a lot to do. We have some football conversation. I have some thoughts on the Chicago Bulls. There's a lot of stuff going on in sports. Both baseball teams off today, but there's a lot to talk about in Chicago sports.
Absolutely. I mean, the White Sox and Cubs are both off, as you mentioned, but great day for the White Sox yesterday. Obviously, the rain delayed things, but a great outing by Lance Lynn, complete game shutout of the Royals. And then, of course, the Mercedes home run, Yoan Moncada gets a home run. Everything seemed like it was clicking yesterday, right? Everything seemed like, oh, we're finally home. Everything is clicking. Fans in the stands. It was just a great day for White Sox baseball. You heard it all here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. The Cubs had a good outing. Craig Kimbrell gets his 350th save, I believe. And then, yeah, the Bulls played well yesterday, too. Like, they're just beating up on these bum-ass teams, aren't they? Like, these teams, like, the teams aren't bums, but because no one's playing for these teams, like, the Atlanta Hawks aren't good. So they should be able to take care of business against
them. They're a playoff team.
Okay, they're a playoff team, but they're missing a few guys.
Well, it's like this. I don't think it's just beating up on bums.
I think
I think what it is they're also starting to play better. And, you know, incorporating Vucevic and Tice to the combination of bigs that you have, I think adds a lot to the depth of this team. You know, finally, it seems like there's roles for Coby White and Lowry Markkanen where they can actually contribute to a team that's playing well. And so, like, when you look at everything coming together, you win three in a row. In two of these games, they've been blowouts. And then it was a blowout in the second half in Tampa against the Raptors last night. And they have the back-to-back tonight facing off against the Hawks this evening. And, you know, there's a couple of things I noticed from all of it. I mean, we were talking the entire time about Zach LaVine. And if he's a max player, he's a max number one. And what we kept saying is, in the best case scenario, he's your second, he's your third best player. Oh, what a shocker. All of a sudden, they trade for a player who you could argue, I'm not saying he is, but you could have the debate whether or not Nikola Vucevic is a better player than Zach LaVine. And that's a wonderful thing, because now, with Vucevic playing the way he is, and Zach just being the efficient player that he is, Zach LaVine has to do less, but he is more effective. And that's exactly what we were talking about the entire time with Zach LaVine. You know, everyone wants a point to points per game. His points per game is starting to come down. He's now seventh in the league. He's no longer in the top five. And I'm sure he will be in the top 10 at the end of the season, absolutely, is scoring points per game. But the most efficient Zach LaVine that you want is someone scoring between 22 and 25 points per night, getting some assists, but really allowing Vucevic to be the number one offensively and having everyone else play off of him. Thad Young, Saransky, Markkanen when he gets in the game. It all makes so much more sense now. So you can say they're beating up on bums. They should be. But they're also playing much better basketball, because last night they started off the game, they were down early. And then with 5 minutes to go in the first quarter, it was tied. It was at a tied game at 16 with 5 minutes left to go in the first quarter. The Bulls finished the first quarter on a 17-11 run.
Yep.
And didn't look back. The rest of the game was cake. They took care of business. It was great.
But that's what you want to see. When you're facing teams that are down like four or five guys, when you're facing teams that, you know, if you look at the standings right now, the Raptors are behind the Bulls. When you're facing teams like that, you should be beating up on them. That's what we've talked about all season long, even before they made the moves. You know, when we talked about this team becoming a playoff team this year or making improvements with Billy Donovan and finally figuring out the roles for these players, beat up on the bad teams, compete with the good teams, and then the teams that you're even against, those are the toss-up games, right? So tonight, you would say the Hawks are about even with the Bulls because they're missing a couple players. So I would say right now, the Bulls are about even with the Hawks. It should be a toss-up game, and right now, if you look at the spread, it's about even. I think the Bulls are a half-point dog. So, yeah, when you face teams like the Nets, which they beat the other day, which was a great win for them, when you face teams like the 76ers, like the Bucks, I want to see competing with those teams. I want to see the Bulls competing with those teams. But facing the Raptors, when you're rested, you should be able to take care of business. That's like the – you shouldn't be playing down to your competition anymore, and it doesn't look like they're going to be doing that.
Right. And if you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776. I've got some more Bulls stuff for you as well as we carry on here.
You can do it now if you wanted to.
Well, no, we're going to get some calls in.
Okay.
Solomon in Highwood, he wants to join the conversation. Right, but I've got some more Bulls thoughts because I think things are really working for them right now. All right. Right. Solomon, you're on ESPN 1000. All calls welcome. What's up?
Hey, boys. Happy to be back in the BNA souffle here. I wanted to talk a little Bears with you guys. I know you're both Bears fans. I'm a fourth-generation Bears fans, and I think we're all pretty despondent and disappointed with the organization, particularly the leadership. And that's why I want to give all my fellow fans out there something I think we can all get behind. DRTR believes in strong leadership, and that is why we're loyal to our leader, Adam Abdallah, and we're forming the number one organization in Chicago, then Illinois, United States, and then the world. So, yes, we're taking over, baby. Abdallah, being a man of the world and people, was mentored under the tutelage of, let's break it down, founding members like Edgar Friendly, Dennis Leary, and Demolition Man, Dale Spooner, Will Smith in the documentary I, Robot, and Ben Richards, Arnold in The Running Man.
Right, right.
And that has caused him to become the perfect head of the RTR. Now, when you pair him up alongside a symbiotic consigliere, Chris Black, the two are interdependent towards the advancement of the rat tail revolution and human society. So, for everyone out there, if you're tired of how your sporting franchise is run, join the RTR, and you'll understand real leadership.
Thank you, Solomon. Appreciate
Thanks.
It. Have
Thanks.
A great
yes,
night.
Boys.
RTR, Rat Tail Revolution, right?
Let's go.
Oh, we're taking over. And, I mean, I'm hearing rumors floated that you guys might be the next in charge of the Bears with the RTR behind you. I know for a fact that Ryan Pace is using an algorithm to evaluate his quarterbacks. And look where it got us. Andy Dalton, Mitch Trubisky, the Ginger Giraffe. You know what the RTR uses to evaluate everything? Our third eye.
So, oh, boom.
That's right. So, join the RTR today.
Please join.
And you can get, finally, your future quarterback. I mean, we're your only hope.
Thank you, Solomon. Have a great weekend, all right?
You too, boys. Keep up the good fight. All of humanity is counting on you.
That's Solomon in Highwood. Shout out to the Twitch chat, ESPN 1000 Chicago. Solomon's in the Twitch chat as well. Frequently. And also, just note, for anyone listening to that and they don't know what the H Solomon was talking about, the rat tail revolution, trying to fight for a greater cause and all the stuff going on there. The Twitch chat actually went up in numbers as he continued to talk. So for anyone trying to be like, I don't know what's going on, I'm Blake and Abdallah, the numbers started to pop up when that was happening.
Those were some deep pulls in there.
Yeah, so I mean, you really have to listen to our show to really understand what is going on with that phone call. It's fantastic. I love it. All calls welcome, 312-332-3776. Fat Mike in Worth, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mike?
Black Abdallah, how's it going, buddies?
What's
I miss
up,
you guys.
Man?
What's going on? Where you been?
You guys got to play more Airheads theme songs, bro.
That's okay. Fine. We can do that.
You got to get on that. Real quick, Real quick, I got a Bears question for you guys. I recently just interviewed Devin Hester. I want to know your guys' intake. Is he a Hall of Famer or no? That's my take for you guys. I want you guys to break that down. Is Devin Hester a Hall of Famer or not?
Go ahead, Blau. Go ahead.
I think he is. I think Devin Hester's he's the best at his position. And his position was return man. And if you're the best to do it, I'm not saying we need to start putting in every return guy, but you're the best at that position, you get in. You get in.
Mike, my answer to you would be, if we have to, I guess, yeah, that's fine. He's the best to do it. Bears fans,
you hate
he's fantastic.
Hall of Fames. You hate.
No.
You hate putting people.
This boils into every person who's a fan of a team says every player that's ever played for their team.
Because you texted me
to a Hall of Fame.
You texted me today that you were watching the Bulls game and there were some speaks happening about Jamal Crawford.
I couldn't believe my ears.
And whether or not he's a Hall of Fame. You just don't want to put anybody in the Hall of Fame.
I love Adam Amin and Stacey King. I just didn't know that Jamal Crawford was a Hall of Famer. But okay.
Whoa.
Didn't know.
I'm not even talking about Jamal Crawford.
No, they were, Mike. They were, Mike.
No, I know.
We heard. We heard it. Yeah,
and I'm saying to you, Mike, that Chris is always going to say no because he doesn't believe anybody should ever make the Hall of Fame.
He can be the one. He can be the one kick returner. That's fine. He was a terrible wide receiver, but as a kick returner, he's in.
I want to know, Black, for you. You and I have talked about this once before in person. Is Devin Hester a Hall of Famer or no?
Answer the man.
I said, yeah, yes, yes. Thank you for the call, Mike. We appreciate it. Let me just say this. How many Hall of Fame wide receivers, when they're wide receiver number one for a team, were terrible? Just saying. I'm not being like, you guys are starting it. I don't care. Put him in.
I don't care.
He could be the one.
I don't care.
He could be the one.
That's fine.
You guys just want every player in every sport to get into the Hall of Fame.
That's not true. I've always said I think Hester should get in.
A participation trophy Hall of Fame.
I told you I didn't think Jamal
Crawford. I love Devin Hester. You're not turning this on me that I'm anti-Devin Hester.
I think you're anti-Devin Hester.
He's fantastic. Some of the greatest moments in my lifetime as a Bears fan because of Devin Hester.
The highest
Hall of
Famer. Highest I've ever been in as a Bears fan.
Boom. Hall of Famer.
That's when he returned that kick in the Super Bowl. It was just downhill from there.
There it is. Is it a little bit of a humble brag in there from that Mike?
He changed
a little
the
humble brag
yeah.
there?
He changed the rules
right.
of the
plug,
game.
Little plug.
All right, yeah. Okay, all calls welcome. I get it. All right, all good. All good. You got more thoughts on Devin Hester as a Hall of Famer?
Nope.
All right, good. Let's talk football next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This hour is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. It's no secret the housing market is red hot. Get a leg up on the competition and get pre-approved now at thehomeloanexpert.com.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Shout out to those in the Twitch chat, ESPN 1000 Chicago, also listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Trey Toon says, Bluck had an entire unprovoked segment on how Rivers, Philip Rivers, was not a Hall of Famer. LMAO. Well, yeah. Well, unprovoked. You have to be provoked to have a thought on sports? Do you have to be provoked to have a thought on sports?
Sometimes. Sometimes I got to be poked to talk
sometimes
sports.
Sometimes I do, right?
Yeah, sometimes I, you know, like here's the thing. This is horrible to say. I don't care.
No,
I don't care.
Listen.
I don't care if Philip Rivers makes it to the Hall of Fame or not. Like, do I care if Devin Hester does?
I kind
of
care.
It'd be cool. It would be cool.
Of course it'd be cool.
One of the most dynamic athletes and Bears players of my Bears fandom to make it in would be cool. It'd be great.
Of course it would be cool. It's just like, what?
But it has no
doing?
Effect on me personally. You act as if it has an effect on you personally.
Well, Phil Rivers is not a Hall of Famer. He collected a bunch of stats.
Yeah,
we don't need to get
right.
into this.
Yeah, but if he gets right. in, who cares?
Let's continue talking
football.
You're
not going to watch his speech anyway, so what difference does it
all
make?
All calls welcome, 312-332-3776. Take your phone calls. We're going to talk to Jordan Reed from the Draft Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Jordan_Reed. good draft conversation we've had over the last couple of weeks, and a player that we keep talking about is Justin Fields. You and I watched college football this fall, and we said that he is the second best player heading into this draft. But since they stopped playing football in college this year, for some reason, Justin Fields continues to drop on people's draft boards. So we asked Jordan Reed, what do you think about that, and how do you see Justin Fields at the next level?
Yeah, you raise a really good point, just because there seems to be that one guy every year that turns out to be a punching bag, for lack of better words, that a lot of people like to use. They just like to poke holes in his game a lot, and they don't really look at the positives of the player. And what happens with the draft cycle is that it really happens in waves with prospects. So, for example, you see Justin Fields kind of being the punching bag now. There's going to be another guy that ends up being a punching bag, and this happens every year. It happened with Daniel Jones, it happened with Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. So there's always that one player every year that ends up being that quote-unquote punching bag. But I'm a big fan of Fields. I love everything that he brings to the table. What he was able to accomplish in only 2 years at Ohio State once he transferred from Georgia was nothing short of phenomenal, in my opinion. The toughness is off the charts. You saw what he did in the college football playoffs. He battled injury and still ended up playing in both games there. Of course, he didn't come out victorious at the one at the end, but he had the best game of his career against Clemson. The progression stuff that you hear about him, I think it's just a situation of where he's trying to play the position a little bit too perfect, and he just needs to go a little bit against the grain a little bit more. So as far as the skill set and the things that he already has present as a foundation, I don't see why he's not the second best quarterback in this draft class. I have him as my QB2 behind Trevor Lawrence, so obviously I'm a big fan of him, and I think if he lands in a situation like a San Francisco, I think that would be a home run selection for them.
I'm looking at your scores for quarterbacks on the Draft Network, and you've got, like you mentioned, Trevor Lawrence 1, Justin Fields 2, Zach Wilson 3, and all with pretty high grades. And then there's a few point differentials between Trey Lance and Mac Jones. How big of a difference you would say there is between the top three and then those next two quarterbacks?
It's not super big, and, you know, the point system does kind of leave that off a little bit as far as what we see from these guys, but it's just the experience factor with both of them that makes me a little bit hesitant with them. Both of them have only generated 17 career starts in their career, so there's a little bit of a smaller sample size. And when you're talking about sample size, it is very important, just because one-year quarterbacks really haven't panned out a whole bunch in the NFL. And if you're just talking about 17 career starts, there's been 5 quarterbacks in history that have gone on to be first-round selections after having that amount of starts or less since the year 2000, I should say. And it's Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, Mark Sanchez, Mitchell Trubisky, and then Cam Newton, not counting the starts that he had in junior college at Blinn when he was transitioning from Florida to Auburn. So as you can see, that's definitely a mixed bag of guys and how their careers turned out. So sample size definitely does matter. But, you know, Trey Lance is my quarterback 4. I think he has a lot of baseline traits that you love to see at the position, but he's not going to be ready once he steps foot on the field. I think he needs to have a little bit of a transition period, similar to what the Chiefs deal with Patrick Mahomes. I know I'm not saying he's going to turn out to be Mahomes, but just as far as the succession plan that they put on him, and I think he started the last game of the year. So if Trey Lance can come in and he starts maybe the week 15, 16, 17 or something like that, I think that would be best for him.
Jordan Reed from the Draft Network talking football with Bleck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. When we look at the very top of the board, Trevor Lawrence is your QB number 1. Who's the last quarterback that had a grade that high that you've scouted in your years covering the National Football League?
He's the highest one that I have ever graded, and I'm really hard on the quarterbacks that I graded just because it's a position that I played in college. I played it growing up as well. So quarterback is obviously my favorite position to scout, but there just isn't a lot of holes in Trevor's game overall. And if you're just looking for a picture-perfect definition of somebody that you want to play the position from the mechanic standpoint, the awareness, decision-making, just a clean release. He just checks so many different boxes that you love to see at the position.
A guy that's been a riser, if you can call it a riser, in the second or third round has been Davis Mills, the quarterback out of Stanford. The Bears do need to draft a quarterback of some form, whether they do it at 20 or they do it in the second round. What are the differences between Davis Mills and a guy like Kyle Trask that the Bears could probably get in the second round or maybe in the third round if they needed to?
Well, I think they're two totally different type of quarterbacks, in my opinion. Davis Mills is obviously the more mobile of the two, but the sample size is much smaller with Mills. I believe he's only recorded 16 starts in his career at Stanford, so you have a really small sample size. Had a knee injury upon his arrival there. He redshirted when he first got there, but a highly touted recruit. The UCLA game was one that, you know, one like a lot of people like to bring up negatively about him. That was by far the worst game of his career. But as you see, as he finished the year, as he finished out the year, I thought he finished it strong. You see the mobility on tape, and I thought he attacked the middle of the field really well. I think that's where he's at his best, when he can attack in between the hashes, but he also has the arm strength in order to get the ball outside of the numbers and the hashes as well. So he's a very intriguing type of quarterback prospect. Then Kyle Trask, a player that really was set up to succeed a lot with a really good play caller at Florida. Excuse me. Then, of course, he had a lot of weapons as well with Kyle Pitts, Kadarius Toney, and even Trayvon Grimes, who's going to be probably a day three receiver that ends up being drafted. Not as mobile as you would like. I think that's the biggest deficiency or the caveat with his game. So you have to set him up with really good protection, a play caller, and then weapons as well.
When we look at Kellen Mond from Texas A&M, do you think that a team like the Chicago Bears, if they're looking to draft a quarterback in the second round or later, is that a quarterback that may be a bit of a project up front but does have a high ceiling if you can get the most out of him?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he absolutely lit the record books on fire at Texas A&M, but one phrase that I always use to describe Kellen Mond right now in his current state is that he was consistently inconsistent. And what I mean by that is you go and watch him against Florida. They had the big upset victory there. That was by far his best game of the year. And then you turn on the tape of him against LSU, and he just looked like an undrafted type of quarterback. He just could not complete any balls for whatever reason for that day. So you have to figure out a way to bundle up that consistency with him. He definitely has a very strong arm. He has the accuracy that you want to see at the position. He has the experience, and then he also has the mobility as well. It's just a matter of being able to get him to play at a high level and being consistent week in and week out. That's always been the biggest battle that he struggled with during his career.
A guy that we watched a lot here in Chicago just because of proximity is Ian Book out of Notre Dame. He really improved a lot towards the second half and the end of last season with Notre Dame. He's got a lot of starts under his belt. You mentioned that a bunch of guys don't have a lot of starts under that under their belts. What do you see from Ian Book, and what round do you think he could go in?
I think probably late rounds. I think 5th, 6th, 7th round. I think that's a fair range of where he could end up going. Supreme leader, 30 victories in his career at Notre Dame, then went down to the Senior Bowl, and I thought he showed some intriguing traits as well. The leadership qualities are off the charts. Does have some things that he needs to clean up. Doesn't have a super strong arm either. But you talk about a player that could be a very key backup and one that you could see playing in the league in that role for 10-plus years. I definitely think he could be that type of quarterback. But as far as starting quality traits, I don't think he has that. I don't think he has the potential to have that. But as far as high-quality insurance for a starter, I think that's where you're going to get the most value for Ian Book.
When we talk about quarterbacks, you know, a lot of people who are college football fans, they say, I saw that guy. And we already covered Trey Lance and the fact that maybe most college football fans didn't really see much of Trey Lance playing in college. But then the other quarterback that I would bring up would be Jamie Newman, a quarterback who people did not get to see last season because he didn't play. And he's kind of bounced around with transferring. What are your thoughts on Jamie Newman, a highly recruited quarterback coming out of high school, but really people didn't get to see him in college perform to the highest level, especially last year?
He's kind of a forgotten man in this quarterback class just because it's been so long since we've seen him when he was at Wake Forest and he had the record-setting year there. A lot of people were looking forward to seeing how he transitioned to the SEC at Georgia, but he ended up opting out in the middle of a training camp, which raised a lot of questions with him. There's a lot of people that have went back and forth and been talking about that. Why exactly did he leave? We never got really clarity on that. So that's something teams and scouts have been doing. They're digging on as to why he left Georgia. But we got to see him throw at the pro day. He looked very impressive. We know he has a very strong arm. But he was in a bit of an unconventional offense at Wake Forest. They were doing a lot of things that you would never see in the pro game. And there was a lot of things of where he just attacked the ball downfield and he threw the ball up. And his receivers were able to bail him out. But as far as somebody that has a lot of tools and is very toolsy, I think Newman does have that, but there's going to be a grace period with him, probably 2 or 3 years, of where you're going to have to work and refine some things.
If you head to thedraftnetwork.com, you did rank the offensive linemen that are coming out in this year's draft. The Bears do need help on that offensive line. What are some names that we should be looking at 20 and possibly in the second round that the Bears could pick up if they should go to go that route in offensive line?
Well, I think one definitely is Tevin Jenkins from Oklahoma State. He's one player that really fits the mold of what the Bears have looked for in years past in their offensive tackles. And it's been a while since they've taken an offensive tackle early. So if they do want to take one at 20, I think Tevin Jenkins could be a name that they do have circled. Christian Darrisaw from Virginia Tech, a player that is very reminiscent of a former Virginia Tech offensive tackle in Dwayne Brown. We saw how consistent he's been able to be during his time in the NFL with the Texans and now the Seahawks. So Darrisaw definitely is somebody that I think they could have circled on their board at 20. And if they're looking for some later down the line players, maybe a Samuel Cosmi from Texas or a Liam Eichenberg from Notre Dame possibly could be there in the second round, or even an Alex Leatherwood if they want to trade back from 20 and accumulate more picks. I think Leatherwood could be a good option for them.
Jordan Reed from the Draft Network talking football with Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. Jordan, you're fantastic covering not only college but also the National Football League. In your opinion, what do you think of the way Ryan Pace and the Chicago Bears have kind of built this roster to get it to this point? They make the move in the offseason. They sign Andy Dalton to be the starting quarterback for next year. They have the 20th pick in the draft. We talked about that. But, like, if you were in charge and you're looking at what they're kind of doing with this roster, how would you go about handling this year's draft with what Ryan Pace has for the Chicago Bears?
Well, for me, I would trade up for a quarterback, honestly, guys, just because nothing matters in your rebuild or your roster construction until you get that pick right. And, you know, they unfortunately missed Mitchell Trubisky, and they admitted that mistake just because they didn't re-sign him, and they just kind of washed their hands away from him, trading for Nick Foles, and then now bringing in Andy Dalton. We'll see who ends up winning that competition. I know they're embracing Andy Dalton as the QB1 now, but if it were me, I don't know if the owners are going to let Pace and Nagy mortgage the future, just because I think they're in a sense of where they understand that this is probably a make-or-break year for either one of those guys. I don't see if they have a season like they had last year of where both of those guys come back. I think somebody's going to have to be let go, unfortunately. But they have to get a quarterback somehow, some way. But if they don't allow them to mortgage the future now, you really have to set Andy Dalton up the best way possible for him to succeed. So get offensive line help, get a wide receiver as well. I think the defense is probably the strong suit of this team overall, but I think it has to be an offensive-centric draft. Overall, you have Allen Robinson on the franchise tag. We don't know what his future holds. Anthony Miller has been in trade talks. People have been saying there's probably a deal that's going to be struck with him here soon. So you have to get a wide receiver. You have to get offensive tackle help of some sort. But nothing matters until you get the quarterback position right.
Would you put an emphasis on trading up for a quarterback this year because of the weaker class next year?
Well, I haven't dug into the 2022 class, so I can't really speak on that. I don't want to be misquoted on that. So I don't really know a whole bunch. I know about Sam Howell and Spencer Rattler. Those are the only two guys that I really know about.
Sure.
So I can't really say if it's weak or not right now. But just based on some of the guys that are coming out this year, let's say a Justin Fields slides down the board. If he gets past Carolina at 8 and there's a situation where he's there and you want to trade back with Denver at 9 or the Cowboys at 10, I definitely would get antsy if I were Ryan Pace to trade up to get him.
You know, when you look at the entire way that the draft board may fall, I think a lot of us thought that Carolina would be in play for a young quarterback, but then they go and trade for Sam Darnold. Do you think that Joe Brady and the Carolina Panthers can get the most out of Sam Darnold, and can he be a successful quarterback in the National Football League?
Yeah, I think so, just because, I mean, we've seen a success story when they went away from Adam Gase and Ryan Tannehill, and I think that's something that the Panthers were probably saying to themselves, of that maybe Sam Darnold could be in a situation of where he was just in a toxic environment, didn't have great protection, and also didn't have great weapons either. So let's get him outside of that environment. Let's put him in our environment with Christian McCaffrey and then also DJ Moore. Let's draft some other pieces around him. I expect them to take an offensive tackle probably at 8. If Kyle Pitts is not there, they're going to surround him with some weapons, and they don't want to make the same mistake that the Jets did with him. Sam Darnold is still only going to be 24 years old at the start of the year as well. And what I'm assuming that they did is they didn't really like their options at 8, and they pretty much brought out their old scouting reports of Sam Darnold, and they stacked him up against the competition of the quarterbacks that they possibly could get at 8. And that's why they ended up making the trade, just because they liked Darnold a little bit better than what their options possibly could be at 8.
Thank you, Jordan. We appreciate it. We love talking football with you.
No problem. Thank you guys so much, as always, for having me.
That's Jordan Reed from the Draft Network. Follow him on Twitter at Jordan_Reed. He's fantastic. Friday night calls, all calls welcome. Mitchell and Des Plaines, he's on hold, and he's up next here on Black and Abdallah.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
When you're at home, don't miss Black and Abdallah. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Black and Abdallah, Friday night. Friday night calls, 312-332-3776. On the phone lines right now, one of our favorite callers calls every Friday night. He is Mitchell in Des Plaines. Mitchell!
Count
hello.
It. Set the over-under.
Well, first of all, the bottom line is that Team Gemini and Team Sagittarius, it's a beautiful Friday night, and I want to be compliant with a capital C, because that's what people do when they're told an assignment. In my first assignment, in my first order of business, they give you a wine review. So may I proceed, Your Honor? Please.
Proceed, yeah, please. Yeah, give us the wine of the week. Come on.
You called us, man.
Let's go, Mitchell.
We have basically a Pinot Noir. I'm kind of switching gears. A Pinot Noir, which is a little lighter now that we're entering into the spring equinox and we're moving off of the Aries and traversing into Taurus. So we're going to basically focus our efforts tonight on Mark West. Pinot Noir. It's fantastic. It, at Binney's, it's at $8.99. If you go to Jewel, you might get it at $12.99. On the higher end, it probably goes for about $14.99. $8.99 is your best price point. Pinot Noir is excellent during your spring and summer if you enjoy red. It's lighter. It's basically very kind of like a summer breeze, and I think you'll dig the notes if you know what I'm talking about. Now, with regards to this paradigm shift that we're going to have in the fall with the Bears, because of one position they switched, I think that you're going to see a Chicago Bears reset to the upside. So I'm bullish on the Bears. And for all those doubters about Andy Dalton, I said this last week, temper yourself with a capital T, temper yourself, because he just might achieve some results that you would think or you would like to have. And I think when they got rid of basically Trubisky because of their unintended consequences of not doing their homework on basic things like footwork and knowing how to read a defense. I mean, basically, when you talk about Trubisky, if you're going to trade up for the second pick overall, it should come with basically the ability to read a defense, but not in that case. Well, guess what? That's passé. That ship has sailed. Good luck in Buffalo 5 years from now. And maybe 4 years from now, you'll be playing in Canada. But I digress. What I'd like to ask you guys is the following, okay?
Okay.
Don't you think that Team Gemini, okay, first I'm going to talk to Team Gemini, and then I'm going to ask Team Sagittarius separate questions about the Bears. Don't you feel, though, that Ryan Pace is sitting with all of the power, he has no accountability, it's a free-for-all, okay? He's playing with Monopoly money, let's be honest. Do you really think that he would go out of his way to spend $10 million on Andy Dalton if he didn't feel as though this would be the right fit? Please.
Yeah, I think he thinks it's the right fit. I'm with you, Mitchell. I agree.
Awesome. That's what I love about Team Gemini. You're brilliant, and you have a duality. Now, moving over to Team Sagittarius, given the fact that obviously the Bears' defense has made some subtle changes, okay, they're really shaping things differently. It's not going to look like it did in 2018 or even last year at best. I think that they're going to have what I call a big upgrade because they're going to finally have an offense that's going to function at the level that Nagy wants it to, which is going to benefit the defense. Please, please, Team Sagittarius, can I have your thoughts? Please.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay, so now that we understand this, right, I've gotten both of you guys to agree on both really important major points, and that is a distinction. The distinction is the Bears are going to be bullish in 2021, and for those that are basically the pessimists, I suggest you read a book, How to, Improve Your Life and Influence People. Thank you very much.
There he is, Mitchell in Des Plaines. It's a Mark West, a Pinot Noir, right, Mitchell?
Yes, sir. Yes. $8.99 at Binney's. Enjoy the weekend and have a great time with the moon in Aries starting tomorrow.
We'll talk to you next week, Mitchell. Thank you.
Awesome. Sounds good. Bye.
It's Mitchell in Des Plaines. One of our favorite callers.
That is indeed
Mark West, $8.99.
All right.
Pinot Noir. I think I'd like that. I think I'd be into that. Mike in Oakbrook. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's going on?
Happy All Calls Friday. So I was thinking, since you guys and Cap and Sylvie and Cap kind of have this rivalry going on.
Well, there's no rivalry. Mike, what's the rivalry? Let's break this down. What's the rivalry? The rivalry is Cap saying blank about Black, Abdallah, Sylvie, and then people responding, right? Is that a rivalry? Like the Bulls and the Knicks, it was a rivalry because it went back and forth, right?
Yeah. Well, is that what you guys are doing, going back and forth all day?
No, because we don't really
responding to when our names are brought up.
Yeah, I don't say anything about Cap unless it's brought up, and then I have to say something.
We are provoked. We gotta respond.
If we were wrestling, Mike, and Cap was in a match anyway. I'm not running out just to Stone Cold Stunner him and then run back out. He's going to have to come into my house first for me to do something to him.
Sorry. Good try. But.
All right. Well, let's say you guys did have a match.
Okay.
You two, Sylvie and Cap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What happened?
What are
the teams?
Yeah. Who's on whose team?
When's Black's Hall of Fame induction?
No. Every man first.
Royal Rumble,
it's not a triple threat match. It's more of a, can we do a pink slip on a pole match?
Sure, if that's what you're into.
Briefcase.
Whatever you like.
Well, see, the thing is, Mike, someone tweeted this. Did you tweet us about this today? Mike?
I think Mike left us.
Okay, Mike's gone.
Good call by Mike.
Someone
Shout
tweeted
out to
us
Mike.
About this today, and people got to understand that when I was younger and watched wrestling, we did some stupid backyard wrestling. I had no regard for my body whatsoever. And I still have no regard for my body whatsoever, as evidenced by me eating worms live on the radio.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling that I would be decent at it because I'll just jump off stuff and land. I don't care. I'll be Mankind on top of the cage, jumping off.
You're wearing the wardrobe.
Onto the table. Yeah.
Aren't you dressed like Mankind right now?
I'm dressed like Mick Foley.
Yeah. There you go. These are guys.
Different characters, but yeah.
It's wrestling. It's all fake. Look at me. You're pumped for WrestleMania this weekend, I think.
No, I haven't watched a WrestleMania in 10 years.
No offense if you do.
It has to be 15 years since I watched a WrestleMania. I think I watched it with you.
Is Mr. Perfect still wrestling?
No, Mr. Perfect. Is Mr. Perfect still with us?
I don't think
he is.
Hey, Pete. What's going on, man?
Slippity flop. Slippity flop. Look at Cap flip. Look at Cap flip.
Okay, done. See you later.
No, Kurt Rudy. Hennig died in 2003.
Oh, my apologies. Rudy and Cherville. You got to go quick, Rudy. What's up?
Well, I had a thoughtful question, I guess, but after those three calls, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Adam, I had a wrestling ring in my backyard for 2 years.
Yeah.
I had kids jumping off the roof, and actually my second oldest son was involved in two WrestleManias. He was the broadcaster.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And then the guy about the moon and the Aries and everything.
Mitchell.
I hear about quarterbacks going to fit in this system and that system. Have you guys figured out Nagy's system yet?
Call a play and pray.
I don't know what his system is, Rudy. I don't.
That's the thing that puzzles me. You know, they're going to get this guy and this guy and this guy, and, you know, he's going to fit in this and that. I don't know. You guys are doing a good job.
Thank
You're
you,
sharp
Rudy.
As ever. Sharp as ever.
Have Thanks, a good weekend, Rudy. Appreciate all right, Rudy?
It. All right, man.
Have a good weekend. That's Rudy in Cherville.
Sorry. Good try. But
is 123 Kid still around? Do you remember him?
Wasn't the 123 Kid X-Pac?
I don't know.
I think X-Pac was the 123 Kid.
Razor Ramon, is he still?
Yeah, Razor Ramon is still with us. Yeah, the 123 Kid was X-Pac. X-Pac is still with us.
No, but is he still wrestling?
Oh, God, no. I don't think so. At least not in any real thing.
Good question. And song of the night.
We going to start barking?
You'll want to hear it coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
You got that bad back, Chris. This hour is brought to you by our friends at 3Chi. That's the number 3CHI, the leader in hemp-derived cannabinoid products. Visit 3Chi.com for more info and use promo code ESPN21 for 5% off.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Do you think they would get mad at us if during breaks we were actually wrestling?
If I turn my mic on. If you kept the Twitch camera on and we were just...
Because I remember as a kid, I would fall on my back and I'd do the Shawn Michaels like, to the back.
Dude, I'm surprised at the amount of bones I didn't break.
All right.
Stuff like that.
Thank you to Tyler Aki producing tonight's show. Here's the deal. We're running out of time.
No time for good question.
Good question is produced. We
next
will
week.
Play it on Monday for those scoring at home. It's a segment we do each and every week here on the show. But more importantly, tonight, we have to make sure we get in our song of the night.
I want to rock!
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdullah's Song of the Night.
Yo, Lick.
There was news today that DMX passed away at age 50. So we go to DMX, Party Up, in honor of DMX from 1999.
Woo!
If you didn't listen to this at some point and getting hyped for something,
yes.
We aren't friends.
Yeah,
we aren't friends. I know Tyler's younger than us. I know even he's listened to this at some point to get hyped.
Oh, yeah.
Have you been hyped
to this? Oh, yeah.
If you haven't looked at somebody in the face and gone, arr, and just barked at someone for no good reason, we're not friends. I mean, I was going through DMX songs today. Oh, my God. He was like, there are a few rappers that have the original distinctive voice,
yes,
that no one has copied. And people tried to copy DMX, but you just know, you know DMX when you hear DMX.
The moment you hear the voice,
mm-hmm,
it's so distinct. And you're right. Immediately, hyped is something that I think, especially with this song. But then also, you're right, just like the style in the videos, Rough Riders, the whole thing. You can't repeat it. It's fantastic.
And Andrew at Fake Shore Drive, Andrew Barber, was telling a story on Twitter earlier today about how he was walking around in 2003 and saw DMX at Lincoln Park High School just playing by himself, no bodyguards, nothing. 2003 DMX walking around, and he was racing remote control cars with kids and just hanging
by himself,
out.
Just hanging out. Just having a day.
Just being DMX.
You know, in the last, 48 hours, there's a lot of people have had stories about DMX being such a nice person. Just out in the real world, meeting random strangers and being friendly and impacting their lives.
Well, he did that versus like a month ago or so, and it was good. But, like, he didn't look the best. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you were just telling, like, okay. Well, I mean, he looked like any artist who's been through some stuff. You know what I mean? Like... Artists, some people that have come on Versus have been like, all right, you've been through some stuff. Okay, I get it. But, I mean, just think of just all the songs that he had. You can turn up for this one.
No more talks. Put him in the dirt instead. You keep off that you're trying to end up bad. Cause if I end up bad, I end up dead. Did you just soft type?
What?
Fake up North type.
Whoa.
I mean, think about driving around in the late 90s, early 2000s, and like you saw a bunch of dudes on motorcycles, you're like, oh, some Rough Riders. Like the Rough Riders anthem. I mean, it sucks. It just sucks. And like the Twitter stories you're seeing today have all been about people that are like, I remember being like, if you didn't randomly dance with someone at a club to this song, then like I don't know what you were doing in the late early 2000s.
Even today, I mean, I know in the last year people haven't really gone out the way they used to, but in the last 10 years you're out at a bar, this comes on late, people are into it.
I'm gonna have to go home and watch Belly. Maybe throw on Romeo Must Die.
Romeo Must Die. Oh, that's a pull.
Man, him and Aaliyah are in that movie.
So in honor of DMX passing away today at age 50, Song of the Night.
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdullah's Song of the Night.
Yo, later.
Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.
listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.